16 teams, one trophy. The NBA playoffs are underway and all roads lead to the NBA Finals. Will the postseason be dominated by NBA veterans, or will this be the year of emerging stars? The playoffs are where legends are made, so make sure you don't miss a moment of the action. Tune in to TNT's coverage of the NBA playoffs on TNT, True TV, and Max.
He made a putt that he had no business making this putt, and it went from left field, and it broke about three different ways, but Friday, and it goes in the hole, and we're all like hooting and hollering, like, I can't believe that went in. And he's like, what? You guys didn't have TVs growing up? And it just, he comes up with such great lines.
Welcome back to The Loop. I'm Alex Myers. As always, I'm joined by Steve Hennessy and Christopher Powers. Got a fun show today with TNT's Darren Hang. Wow, what a great guest he turned out to be. Of course, again, you know, we're company guys. We love the guys in-house, and CP loves his pucks. But man, I loved listening to him talk pucks too. That was really interesting stuff. I might actually have to watch some of these.
That's the point of these interviews, right? To get other
that's
people
right.
into
get the casuals.
That's right.
TNT.
Yeah. So. I mean, you know, I'm locked into my Knicks. We got CP and I wearing the Knicks hats
on TNT tonight, folks.
That's right. You know, I was going to say too. I shouldn't say it because I'm such a company guy, but I am going to miss the MSG broadcast.
I know. Well, I was doing that MSG. First round. I was doing that with the Rangers.
Right.
And it's the best. It's just like it feels like, you know, you're watching the TNT again. We're company men.
Right.
Then
they do a great
job.
They do a great job.
You're on the MSG and you're like at home. You feel at home.
What what Peng was even talking about. Like, you know, the players worry about the national guys kind of swooping in or whatever. Maybe they don't know teams as well. But like,
well, our guy Sean McDonough had a rough one yesterday at the Ranger game.
Oh, did he?
I don't know if you guys heard that. He was like not even paying attention when the Rangers scored the first goal. Like,
ooh.
And
well, that's like
not, he was not that excited. So people were kind of flipping out about
well, that's
it. Yeah, but you know, they're national guys. You gotta be unbiased. There's two teams, both teams are getting paid to play. Like that's how it works. And
yeah,
when you listen to your hometown announcer for 82 games all year, it's quite the change.
And the Knicks fans, I'm sure the Rangers is the same, are spoiled.
Yep, I know.
Mike Green, and in the past it was Marv Albert, and it was
Sam Rose and Brandon. And spoiled.
Right, so like we have like the cream of the crop already doing it. So I just though I did see it came out that our boy Brian Anderson and Stan Van Gundy will be doing the Knicks Pacers series. So I'm very excited about that, and I like that there's going to be some continuity there. It's not going to be like jumping around, which they used to do.
Yeah,
so that's great. And then we avoided, and again, I mean, there would have been riots in the street if Reggie Miller was calling Pacers.
Pacers.
I mean, he's already horrendous.
Grant Hill does
put him
Duke
on
games.
A Pacers, it'd be a joke. What'd you say?
Grant Hill does these Duke games.
No, it's disgraceful. Yeah,
he's good.
He actually does seem to try to be fair, but that you can't. That's a tough spot, though, because Duke's always in it. It's not going to –
Yeah, Jay Billis is also
right.
Very
good. Hard
you can't win because, like, Kirk Herbstreit is about as unbiased when it comes to Ohio State as a guy can get, and he gets
killed.
Endless shit from Ohio State fans for not being a big enough homer from everybody else for apparently being a homer, which he's not. So you can literally can't win.
You can't win. Anyway, we're very excited about the Knicks and, of course, the both playoffs continuing on TNT and on Max. Check that out. Okay, let's get into some golf. We'll hit a couple things quick. We'll get to the Darren Pang interview for everybody. And then we have a fun topic that CP wrote about that we are going to talk about as well. So first, let's do a little Taylor Pendrith. This, you know, it was nice to see, except for CP and I, for me, at least it would have been the biggest payday of my gambling career had Jake Knapp come through.
Wow.
Now he ends up not.
I don't want to talk units, but
yeah,
it would have been healthy four figures.
Well, see, I've never hit a four figure. This would have been right at it.
Okay.
Right at it. So I would have been right there. And I got to admit, I was kind of, I don't know why, I had a great feeling about him all week. I wasn't even watching on Thursday. I was like, all right, he's in the mix. So second round, he's got the lead, whatever. You were up to Amy CP. I was like, all right, that's good. And then Saturday, he kind of fell behind, but then was right there. I just expected him to do it Sunday, and he didn't, and it was disappointing. But what's the double kick in the whatever is that Taylor Pendrith is a guy who I have bet a million times on, including another time. I think we were all on him. I forgot if it was the Rocket Mortgage or the something. He had the 54-hole lead, and that would have been my biggest win of all time as well. And he got dusted in the final round, just like Knapp got dusted. So it was kind of like a flip. Not only did Knapp not win, but Taylor Pendrith, who, again, normally I'd be all about it. I love the guy. Great story. Finally gets a win, you know, whatever. But he's a guy who I bet on. He let me down. And now, of course, he beats the guy that I bet on. Anyway, how are you guys doing with that?
Yeah, same boat. I was on Jake as well. Shouted out Kenny Kim last week. He was the first guy that tweeted that he was all over him. And I thought the logic was extremely sound. You can blow driver everywhere at this course like you could in Mexico, where Knapp won, where he shot 8 under through 7 holes on Saturday. Couldn't quite do that for us.
And on Sunday in Mexico, we didn't do anything either.
Yeah. Well, remember. And he was missing to the left, if I recall.
Yeah.
A lot of people saying
he's playing that fade Sunday, and it's just
hooked. He's trying to hit that go-to cut, and he's, you know, look, I'm not saying I'm Nostradamus here, but when he pulled a 9-iron into the bunker from the first fairway, I think this is not happening today. Because that's the most typical, like, I'm nervous and I'm just going to flip my arms at it and fucking 130, whatever it was probably like 160.
It was like 148 or something.
But then we're within one shot on the 11th tee, right?
Yep.
We're right there. That's why I wasn't, Myers was going crazy.
I know. I was doing my
usual. I was like, I got the Rangers today. Yeah. I can't be doing all this too much.
Could we have an intervention for Myers? Because whenever this guy has an outright ticket in the mix, non-stop. Oh my God. I'm never betting golf again. Oh my God. And Akshay, we won. And it's terrible. Oh my God. I can't.
Yeah, but you guys weren't even watching that day. You were traveling.
We were. Don't tell the police.
Danny McCarthy, you guys think I'm being overly dramatic? We had to dodge the biggest. Dude, we had to dodge the biggest bull in the history of golf. Yeah, the guy shot 27 on the back nine whatever.
The first birdie he made, you're like, oh no, it's coming.
I could sense it coming. No, I go crazy. Right. But then you guys, I was right on Denny McCarthy. That was insane. And then yesterday, I stopped it a little bit once. I could tell you guys weren't responding because I see CP tweeting about it instead. But CP was tweeting, you know, the Kermit jumping off the building or whatever. And like, we all knew it was going against us. You're right. That 9-iron told the story because he had missed 5 greens in regulation the first 3 rounds total. And then he missed 5 of the first like 8 greens yesterday. It was insane. Like all of a sudden he couldn't hit an iron. But no, I was kind of losing it. You know, Taylor Pendrith spun one that should have gone into the water. It stayed up. Yeah. The announcers were like, I don't know how that stopped there.
He chunked a wedge and then holds out the bunker.
Chunked a wedge and holds out a bunker shot.
Sometimes it's somebody else's day.
Magic.
Now look, I'm almost glad that it wasn't even close for Knapp down the stretch because then it would have
I was thrilled for that. I could just watch the range.
Right. Like if Knapp loses by one, then it's a real dagger. The real dagger, of course, is Ben Coles, who
no one bet on. So
no one bet on.
I was gonna say if he wins and someone's like Coles cash, I'm like, get the Coles fuck cash. Out of here. No Coles fucking cash. Way.
That's so good.
Coles that was in.
No chance. And I know somebody would have been on their card Monday. Yeah. Like, oh, yeah. You would never pump that up. You would never be like, Ben Coles. But when he wins, oh, look at my card from last week. So I was going to lose it over that. I was actually glad.
No one did that.
And I sent that stupid tweet that people are like, oh, this aged terribly. Yeah, things change. You know, somebody makes a birdie and someone makes a bogey. That's how it works. But I was saying I was happy to have Knapp, who had no chance after the 12th hole. It was over.
Yeah.
Then having Pendrith yesterday, I would have jumped off my roof 100%. Of course, pulls off the miracle win. Coles kind of gags it on 18.
Totally gagged it.
Yeah. I don't know. I like even the Pendrith people won. Like that is almost too much agita for me.
Right.
that swing, he was cruising.
I was going to say,
Knapp's gone. The only guy he was probably scared of, the guy who has a win, he's gone. I can stroll to victory. And Shank lookalike, David Hearn lookalike.
Oh, David Hearn, you nailed it. David Hearn.
The day of his life. This is who we're going to lose to, especially Pendy. Like you said, we've all been on him. I think our whole panel was on him a couple weeks ago, and he missed the cut. Like, it was like a consensus play.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that would have been a really tough one for Pendrith people.
But I got to say.
Congrats.
Yeah, congrats. And I got to say, I almost went with a sizable hedge, and I didn't, because I said, you know what? I want to have the biggest win ever of my life. I don't want to cut into it.
Yeah.
That's kind of cheating. And I almost went Pendrith. But like you said, CP, if I had gone Pendrith, there's no way that he wins that tournament. There's no way he would have lost that tournament. And somehow these lucky assholes who bet Pendrith this time, the one time I don't bet him, they end up winning, even though he looked like he was going to lose. I mean, the fact that that didn't even go to a playoff, that is insane.
I know.
Wow. What an all time. That's almost like the Homa Hatton swing from, what was that, Napa a few years ago. I mean, we're like, Willett had like a 4-footer for one and loses or whatever. Like,
very similar.
Yeah, I think I want to say I did look. I think he was like plus 300 standing in the fairway on 18. Wow. Coles was minus whatever, 275, whatever it was.
Yeah, I'm surprised it wasn't even more than that.
And then, I mean, if you listen to Ian Baker Finch, that chip shot was an easy one for Ben Coles. When he said it was buried. When he said that, I literally was like, out loud, I was like, is it an easy one? And I was glad to be right, because I don't know. That couldn't have been less easy. It was a short-sided pin in the rough. You'd rather it be in the trap. You've got pressure.
Right.
But IBF is, you know.
He's IBF. Also, you gotta say this too. Like, Pendrith is putting for eagle. You got to assume he's going to make birdie at least.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, you got to put it 15 feet past and take.
I know.
You're in good shape to make birdie there. You're not just going to flub it to 30 feet. Like, you're going to try to hit like a good shot. And like you said, it's from a tough, you know, it's a weird stance. Obviously, the second one was an impossible stance. He hit a really good shot from there and then unfortunately missed the putt. But I'm, you know, looking back, it's like, oh my God, how did he not even get into playoff? But if he hits it to 30 feet and two putts and lets Pendrith get into the playoff, then he loses the playoff, then people kill him for, he's too conservative on the pitch.
You're Scotty Scheffler, you've got a million wins, trying for the miracle up and down to win again. Yeah, go ahead. If you're Ben Coles, this might be it for you.
Right.
I don't know if he's thinking that in the moment, but I don't know. This is the back nine of your life.
Right.
You're Ben Coles. You got a chance to win a PGA Tour event. You can't blast it to 30 feet
People would kill you for that. Yeah. So no. And I thought looked like he handled it incredibly well. I can't even imagine how devastating it would be. Hey, he's from Dallas too.
And this is the one tournament Dave Portnoy decides he's going to tweet a guy's.
Oh my God.
Poor Ben Coles got like millions of people watching it now, way more than we're probably watching it live are watching.
You're right. You're right. More people probably watched the highlight from Dave Portnoy's feed than we're watching live on CBS. And poor Ben Coles. You're right. And Dave's right. You really don't see chokes like that on 18. I mean,
they're usually much slower. And sorry, Steve, but
I don't remember a bigger one.
Yeah.
It's Willett.
Yeah.
But I mean, Denny.
Yeah,
but he shot an insane back nine. But so did Ben.
Denny,
but the Denny chunk, that's like
it. He did chunk a wedge. Yeah,
but yeah, greenside. I don't know. That was
greenside. Yeah, you just don't usually see that. That was tough. Quickly, let's talk Brooks Koepka. He wins in Singapore. Again, perfect timing with the PGA Championship next week. You know, he gets his first win with his kid there, Steve. Nice moment for Brooks, kind of lets his guard down. I think we all kind of like seeing that. But I've moved him to number one in the PGA Championship rankings. His odds have been slashed a little, I think from about 20-1 to 16-1. But
nice.
I mean, why wouldn't you bet on this guy right now at Valhalla?
Yeah, I did Saturday night. Shout out.
Oh, nicely done.
My buddy Matt saw it and alerted me to it. So threw some coin on it. Yeah, the putting stats, Rick Gaiman pointed out, look a lot better over the past couple starts for him on LIV. And he said he was really disappointed with Augusta. So, you know, kind of went back in the lab. And yeah, I mean, it's kind of similar to what he did before Oak Hill last year. So yeah, I mean, especially maybe there's no Scottie Scheffler in the field because Meredith had not had the baby as of this weekend because someone saw Mr. Scheffler out in McKinney watching Tom Kim. And he's, you know, Meredith hadn't had the baby yet. So I don't know what Scottie does. Like, you know, I would imagine the baby is born this week, or maybe it's already been born, who knows? But you know, if the baby was born like with a week before the PGA, he could fly in Tuesday or Wednesday. He would have to play in it, I would think. But if the baby wasn't born till that week, I mean, maybe he's back. Yeah. I don't know.
It's going to be really
tough. I don't know what the plans are.
You know, that's when people were, you know, saying that stuff ahead of the Masters. I mean,
so crazy.
LOL, because anyone who knows this, now again, there are outliers, but especially that first child always comes late. I mean, it's just like, it's science. It comes late. And so the fact that we were like thinking, oh, this might come during the Masters week was ridiculous. And then it was like, oh, it's due end of April. And now we're May 6th. I mean, now look, there's also scientific ways to make the baby come out. And they at some point you do that. So I still think Scottie will be at Valhalla. He obviously is missing this week, Wells Fargo, which is a big event. Not that he needs to play in another big event, but you're right, Steve. It's kind of like, it's a little dicey now. And in terms of like his preparation at Valhalla, he certainly might not get the full prep that he was kind of planning on. So,
yeah, you know, it's the type of course that you could probably show up like, you know, strategy wise, it's just so driver heavy that, you know, he's going to be fine. The greens aren't too crazy. So if the baby's born this week, he'll be fine, but he's still plus 350 as favorite. So I guess the point is, if you like anyone going into next week, I would bet him now just in case that, you know, Scottie doesn't show up, everyone's odds are going to get slashed.
Yes. Good point.
So,
you know, look at the odds. The odds stink this week.
Yeah. Kind of brutal. Yeah. Guys who would normally be like, you know, 30 or so, or, you know, 21. So,
yeah. No, good point. Good point. But anyway, congrats to Brooks. He looks good and he looks ready to defend that Wanamaker trophy. Okay. Let's get into our chat with Darren Pang, of course, of TNT, doing the NHL playoffs. He just let us know he will be in Boston for games 3 and 4, right, against the Panthers. Brooks's peas. The peas.
Brooks's peas.
There you go.
Could be another, yeah, could be another magical PGA peas week.
That's right. Big, nice connection there with Brooks. So we seamlessly transition into our interview with Darren Pang. All right, we are very excited to welcome to the podcast Darren Pang, TNT's own. Darren, thank you so much for joining us today. I know it's such a busy time with the NHL playoffs going on. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic. In fact, just got the schedule because the first round being over and some great game sevens. And then, you know, I'm like everybody else. I mean, waiting here from TNT and they're like, okay, we got you guys all settled. And then you wait for where you're going to head to. And I'm going to head to, because ESPN takes a lot of the games ones and twos, then we just wait to see where games threes and fours are. And then we kick it off with 3 and 4. Then ESPN will take a game. Then we jump right back in with a couple. So I'll start off in the great city of Boston and do games 3 and 4 of the Florida Panthers and Boston Bruins. So I'm really fired up. That's Friday and Sunday as well. So that leaves me with a nice Saturday off in Boston, searching for a home to play some golf. So,
very good.
You must be refreshing the weather app every 5 minutes right now, I would imagine, in Boston.
Yeah. That's always everything, isn't it? Like for me, I'd be like, okay, I bring golf shoes, glove, all the necessities, but I don't travel with my clubs because I don't know where I'm going to go after that. And you can probably see I'm a Mira I'm a Mura guy. I've been a brand ambassador for like 15, 16 or 17 years with Mura.
Wow.
So if there's a city that my buddy Bill Holowaty is the COO of it, and he goes, if there's ever a city that I know I've got some guys out there, I'll just get clubs sent right to you. So don't worry about that. So I got a traveling Mura guy that can get me set up. But I'm pumped up. So that's all I bring. You know, I get to courses and I'm like, hey, fellas, everybody knows I love to golf. And so the phone calls will be start streaming out there right now so I can get myself set up for Saturday.
Yeah, well, it's number one on the bucket list for Austin. Are you calling the country club after this podcast? Like, is that what we're talking about?
That would be a good one right off the hop, huh?
Yeah, right.
That's high up on my bucket list too.
Well, when you get your schedule, what are, some of the places that you're extra excited to go to in particular because of the golf?
Well, in Florida last year, you know, they hosted the final, Vegas and Florida. So I tell guys that last year, because of Wayne Gretzky being a member at Grove 23, we had so many days off. Like there was the final was funny last year. And you might have game one. We had game one in Vegas on, let's say, a Friday, game two on a Sunday. We flew right to West Palm right after the game on Sunday. So we get, you know, we had 2 days off then in Florida. So two full days off and the teams are traveling. So no one's skating, no one's at the rink. And so I ended up going to, we did five games in the final. I played five rounds of golf. Three of them were at Grove 23. And I said about five words during the final. I said, I win in the whole final right there. So anytime there's anything in Florida, you know, right. Wayne is so thoughtful of a guy and he's always like, hey, where are you going to be? And I'm like, well, I'll be in Florida. He's like, okay, I got you set up. You know, I can't play, but my buddy Duff can play with you. This guy can play with you. And I got another, but Danny Quinn's a longtime friend of mine. He was a NHL player for a long time and he caddied for Ernie Els and a bunch of guys.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He's in Florida as well. You know, Danny Quinn, probably you've heard his name.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah. So he's also another guy that he's like, hey, where are you? You know, where do you want to play? So it's a great network, not just the NHL, but we all love to, or most of us love to golf, and very few will do what it takes to go find a golf course like I will on the road. I will exert and exhaust every avenue to get there.
And was that a thing while you were playing as well, or is that just more so as a broadcaster now?
You know what? I didn't play at all when I was a player in the NHL. Yeah, I did play. But I was nowhere near the experienced guy that I am now. And just in terms of what to do, how to do it. And so I think over the years, like I retired in 1990, you weren't even born yet. So, I mean, am I far off?
89.
I'm old. I'm 82, but we get your point.
Yeah. So it's like, I grew up as a kid playing lacrosse in my hometown of Ottawa, Canada. I was an avid lacrosse fan. It was my favorite sport in the world. And then I started getting into tennis and squash. And it wasn't until later on, it was Danny Quinn that kind of talked a couple of us into playing golf. And we were like, we just didn't, you know, like it's not easy when you're younger to just go play golf, right. You know? And by the way, the balls were awful and the persimmon heads were terrible. And all we did was, you know, push everything out to the right or blood hook them to the left so bad it was discouraging. So anyway, the game got a lot more fun later on in life.
That's amazing. We had Biz on our pod a couple months ago. He said the same stuff about Gretzky. He's just such a nice guy to be around. How often do you get to play with him and what's that experience like?
It's unbelievable. Like the guy, he's a line a minute. He loves to play whatever games you want to play. You want to play some closeout games. You want to play a 6-point scotch game. He's all in for everything. And then when you're on the course, you know, he loves to grab that cigar and then just rib you the whole time. So he's got such great lines. You know, there was one time he made a putt that he had no business making this putt, and it went from left field, and it broke about three different ways. But Friday, and it goes in the hole, and we're all like hooting and hollering, like I can't believe that went in. And he's like, "What? You guys didn't have TVs growing up?" And it just he comes up with such great lines, and it's so much fun to play with. So. But you're right. Like people talk about guys as athletes, but anybody that's, you know, touched base with Wayne throughout their lives, they'll say the same thing. He's just an incredibly unselfish human being he just wants to help out it. And he'll be watching the game. Last night I was watching game seven, Dallas and Vegas, and I'm sitting here and I'm got notes going on because I don't know if I'm doing the Dallas series or the Vegas series. So you just kind of watch the game and you're taking notes. And he calls me after the game and he's like, "Are you watching the interview with Jake Oettinger?" I said, "Yeah." And he goes, "Have you ever seen a goalie chew gum?" I said, "No, never." I said, "Steve Larmer was a teammate of mine in Chicago, and he ended up winning a cup with the Rangers in 94. And I said, "Larms was one of the few guys that I remember really chomping on gum." And he goes, "Yeah, me too." He goes, that's a good scoop right there, huh? Of gold. Yeah. I said, "Hey, I'll find out about Oettinger chewing gum like that." And so anyway, I'm like, that's him. He just, he's got great awareness of everything going on. And
had a few assists in his day on the ice.
There's another one right there. Yeah. He has more assists than anybody has points in the NHL. Yeah. So it's incredible. My wife was just reading a stat. She says, she must've been reading it, somewhere online. She goes, "This is really interesting. Wayne was the fastest to 1,000 points." And I said, "Yeah." She goes, "He was the fastest to 1,000 points too." I said, "Yep." So he did it in 400 and something games the first time, and then he did it in 400 and something games the second time. I mean, just an amazing, amazing athlete. And I got to play against him, and it was scary. Yeah, I mean, it wasn't even. I mean, it was just, you had to be on your toes all the time because he came out of nowhere and passed pucks. You didn't even know where that person was, and he'd find that person.
Did he ever score on you?
He did. Yeah, he scored. I got a list of guys that scored on me because I didn't play that many games. So I had Elias, Elias Sports Bureau. They are so good. And so a buddy of mine was working for them and he says, "Hey, do you want a list of all the guys that scored on you?" And I said, "That would be unbelievable, And I think I'm going to put them on I got to frame them, I think. And I'm looking at it and I'm like, well, Gretz has got to be up there. But I'm like, I was decent against him. I only probably played 6 games against them, but because I only played 81 games in the NHL, so it's not like I had this long 10-year career that I would have played them a lot. But I looked down, I'm like, 3 goals. So I told Gretz that he had 3 goals against me. He goes, "What'd you do, play half the game?" And I'm like, "No, wait a second here. No, I actually played 6 games." He was busted me the whole time. He's like, it was a good line though. "What'd you do, play half the game and get pulled and I scored 3 on you?"
Who else is on that list? Any other big names?
Actually, Danny Quinn's on that list. He had 3 on me in 1 game. Played for the Pittsburgh Penguins, and I think he had 5 total. Joe Mullen, a great New York Ranger, came from Hell's Kitchen. An unbelievable story with that guy. So he scored 6 on me. Mike Gartner scored 6 on me. So
I remember him.
Yeah, I let all the Hall of Famers score on me so they would get into the Hall. See, I wasn't. I told that to Gretz. I said, like, I gave you 3 extra ones.
That's cheapies.
What, you mentioned looking at notes and everything. I know obviously you do the Blackhawks during most of the season. How hard is it for you once the playoffs start to learn about other teams, or are you just kind of plugged in anyway all year from doing Blackhawks and kind of just keeping your eye on the league?
It's a good question because a lot of people see us, you're between the benches and you're just, you're jumping into something. But I think as the year goes on and years go on, like we were talking earlier about trainers, like you get to know trainers. Now that's not going to make you know the team better, but you end up in a hallway. You end up asking the trainer about so-and-so. "Hey, there's a new guy. What's he like?" "Oh, he's an unbelievable guy. He takes care of us. He's really a hard worker." I'm like, "All right." It's another note, that little nugget that you throw out there. And then you're with the coaches and you find out some little bit of strategy and you've got that. But, being around for as long as I've been around, I've got pretty much cell phone numbers to everybody. If you want to just send a note, whether it be another analyst, I like to lean on the other analyst of the home teams, and especially in the playoffs, because they don't get enough notoriety either, because they're bumped after the first round. Mm-hmm. So if I was in Dallas, as an example, Daryl Ray's a longtime friend of mine, and we actually played together, and he's a great analyst for the Dallas Stars. And I'll be like, "Hey, Razor, what do you got?" We all do the same thing. "Hey, what do you got?" Right. "Well, this Wyatt Johnston's incredible. He does this." And okay, so what else? And then you just kind of piecemeal everything and make sure you're up to date with the local teams, because you guys watch hockey or sports. And the last thing you want, and the biggest complaint with national TV or rights holders, is that, they don't care enough about the city that they're covering. Mm-hmm. And trust me, no one's cheering for anybody. We're cheering for a good game. You want to have drama down to the very end, but you also want to get into the landscape of the locals. And I think that's what we all try to work really hard at. So, but going from your question, I got loads of stuff that I do. I've got, I've got, I don't have a whole lot of techniques in front of me here, but I got anything from like, I'll break down stuff like, you know, individual stuff for players that I can use and pull out. This is a scan card system. And then I got, you know, this will be a game, like this will be a game sheet. I'm not sure if you see that there. Like no. it's a very simple process, but you're filling that out and you're the foundation of it. And then you go to matchups, and then you go to storylines, and then you might go to something that you got from that player, Jake Ottinger chewing gum. Maybe, you know, I don't know, you know, there might be something out there that, that calms him down. And here I am making a big deal. He might've just thrown that gum in his mouth for the interview. So I don't know, but you can kind of understand as I, you know, you're kind of just looking at every single aspect of the game, from matchups to who's maybe weak turning on his left side, maybe what can they exploit through the neutral zone. And then you try to tell the people what they're going to see, not just what they just saw. I mean, everybody just saw it, but if you can tell them ahead of time that there's a weakness in the neutral zone for team A, and this is the area that the New York Rangers are going to exploit, and bang, it happens, I think that's when you're doing your job as an analyst.
Yeah. You get to watch a decent amount of PGA Tour coverage throughout the year. Hey, one of your fellow Canadian guys, Taylor Pendrith, just won last week.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. I think it's so great. Because they're not just field fillers is a term I'll use. Wow. You know, they're not. I mean, you could pick them. We're all in pools. I mean, you could go into any major and really pick at least three of the 10. You could, and you probably have a pretty good run at it. Mm-hmm. You could pick maybe all of them and they'd all make the cut. They're just so sound. And Ray Ferraro does a great job with ESPN, and we've been friends for a long time. He's based out of Vancouver. And so he was at Silverleaf just recently, and he set up, you know, Nick Taylor's a friend of his, and Adam Hadwin. And so they were all playing. And so afterwards I couldn't wait to ask him, like, what are they like? You know, how are they? And so like we get more excited probably than they do, or maybe not, because they're big hockey fans. But
right.
You know what's impressive, and you saw it last year in the Canadian Open with that great putt from Nick Taylor and the amount of Canadians, you know, I know there's not thousands of them that are former players, but they were all hunkered around that green. Even Mike Weir, that's not on the tour. Yeah. They're just, you know, like they just, it's a big country, but it's a small country, and everybody loves hockey, but golf is, it's just a fanatical sport because the summers are so short. So Canadians dive in. I mean, you guys know that they dive in and they just pour everything they've got into it in a 4-month period. And that's really exciting that they're doing so great.
Well, I mean, to that point, I think the President's Cup is going to be unbelievable fall, and there's going to be a lot of Canadians on that team. So it will really legitimately be like a incredible home game. And we see how they treat hockey. I would imagine that the environment's going to be out of control. Yeah.
I agree with you. And that's Royal Montreal, right?
Yep.
Yes.
I mean, Royal Montreal is, by all counts, I had some buddies, and there are some Montreal Canadiens players that just got in. And they've said to me, anytime you're around, you got to come play it. And I've never played it before, but all the Royals in Canada, and obviously in Great Britain and Ireland, but the Royal Montreal, the Royal Ottawa, the Royal, I think London Golf and I think it's called the
and Hunt Club, right?
Hunt, is that right? London Golf and Hunt Club, the Royal, and it's just, you know, there's just something special about it, and the Canadian fans will come out in droves. You remember when Mike Weir took on the individual match? I know that the Americans won it, but Mike Weir took down Tiger in the last one, and the amount of fans and the passion that was there was unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, I remember all those years that Mike Weir was trying to win the Canadian Open. He was in content. I mean, it was, you could just feel the whole country pulling for him.
So, remember when Vijay Singh beat him at the end?
Vijay took him down. Yeah, and his, exactly. So it was great to see Nick Taylor get it done last year for sure. Yeah. You mentioned the Mura thing. How does that come about? What are you? What level player are you? Are you like a stud? I mean, what's going on here? I mean, you must have some game, Darren.
I think my index is one. You probably look it up. I think it's, I don't know, 1.8 or 2.2.
Wow, he's got
it up a little bit. I had a good player. We had a 36 a day at Whisper Rock during the All-Star break, and I had a couple of in the low 80s that bumped it up a little bit. But I play a lot. I play out of Meadowbrook Country Club in St. Louis, and and also Prestwick Village Golf Club in Highland Township, Michigan. That's where I have my summer place. And so we got a couple of guys there. Joe Koser, the former tough guy in the NHL, is a member there, and we've got a really great group there. So I play a lot. I try to compete for club championships. I won a senior club championship there, and finished in a playoff twice. So I just turned 60. I feel like I'm probably a better player now than I was a while ago. Just lost a little bit of zip, but I think I'm a better player anyway. Better iron player than I was before. And the Mura clubs, like Bill Holowaty, it was surreal what happened. And I hate to name drop like this, but again, it goes back to Gretzky. But when Gretz was the coach of the Arizona Coyotes, ESPN lost the rights to the NHL. So I was a free agent, and Wayne and Mike Barnett, the general manager, and Cliff Fletcher, they called me and asked if I would be interested in leaving the Chicago area and going to Arizona to be the analyst, because Wayne's going to coach. I said, Wayne Gretzky's going to coach. This is unbelievable. So talked to my family. We went out there for a visit. We ended up going there. So long story short, Gretz always, he invited guys to come on the plane if we were one in, one out from LA, let's say. So Freddie Couples came on many of our flights. And so my job really was, hey, Gretz would always say, hey, take care of Freddie. You guys go for lunch and whatever, and Freddie will hang out. And then we'll be back on the plane. And I'm, of course, like, and so I love Freddie to death, and he loves hockey. And so one day we're playing golf, and I look at his irons, and I'm like, those are Bridgestone irons. And he goes, yeah. And I go, but they're not. And he goes, no, they're not. He goes, Mura makes my irons. So now I'm like, okay, Mura, the Japanese company. And he goes, yeah, they're hand forged in Japan. He says, if you look, and I think at that point, Tiger also had his stamp, but he was a Mura guy. I think they were the MB 101s or the forged model that was the original model. And so anyway, turns out 2 months later, I'm at a charity tournament in Vancouver, British Columbia, with Grant Fuhr. And Fierzy is in, you know, like a kind of a, introducing me to all these people. And this one guy, Bill Holowaty, is there, and he's got these Mura clubs. And I'm literally like, man, nice to meet you. I can't believe this. And I told him the story about Freddie Couples. And he said, you're Darren Pang. And I said, yeah. And he goes, you took care of a good friend of our family. I tell you what, I'm going to take care of you. He said, I'm going to send you 3 6 irons, different shafts, Aerotech, something else. And he says, just let me know what you think. That was in 2008. And so, you know, here we are at 2024. They're part of my podcast that I do with Catherine Tappan called Back to You. He's been a longtime friend of mine, and I make sure that I take care of them. They take care of me. And so right now I'm using I've got a number of different variations of their blades, but I've used them all, mostly the blades. And so I still can't get them out of my hands. And everybody says, well, you need more forgiveness. I'm like, you know what? I just look down at these blades and I just love them, you know? And so that's how it's been. And that's how long it's been. And it's just been, it's great because they know that I'm not one of these guys that says, let me just try that set. And then I give them away to somebody. I've been devoted to them. They've never left my bag since 2008. And I swear by them. And if you guys haven't, you know, if you guys haven't had a 7 iron in your hand of any Mura product, there's a sound that's just different because they're hand forged in Japan. They just is. And so I love it. So when they hit them good, boy, do they ever sound good. And even if you hit them a little bad, they're not as unforgiving as people think. You know, people that aren't single digits, they're like, oh my goodness, I can't use them. But they've got a number of different player performance irons that aren't just the MB 101 blades. So
interesting. It's all thanks to Freddie too.
Freddie, wow.
Freddie and his Bridgestones.
Well, last one for me, Panger, you know, being in the Chicago area all the time, Chicago is such a great golf city. Have you been able to get out to some of the greats like Chicago Golf Club and Shore Acres, Olympia?
You have just hit me. I'm telling you what, you just hit me right here. I lived in Wheaton for almost 20 years. The last home that I lived in there is in a subdivision. It was called Pheasant Hollow, and there's no homes on Chicago Golf Club, but it did, you know, there were several homes that were on the fence of, I think, 13, 14. I think I'm right on that. Maybe 12, 13, 14.
Yep.
And my neighbor was the former president of Chicago Golf Club.
Oh, wow.
And Steve would say he'd have to drive by my place to leave his place. And he'd kind of honk on the horn, said, 7 o'clock tomorrow morning. I'd say, yes. There was, if I was doing, it didn't matter what I was doing. It was That's a yes. Amazing. It was a yes.
Right.
And I've told many people that if I were to die in 5 days and I had one course to play, and I feel like I've played an awful lot. Now, I haven't played in Augusta and I haven't played Cypress Point, but, and even if I had, I think because this course is so special to my heart, I would play Chicago Golf Club. Wow. Be the last course that I played. And I have played Shore Acres. And that is an unbelievable course. That is a Seth Rainer as well, isn't it?
It is. Yep.
It's a Seth Rainer. And it's, I remember the first time going there, I was like, you got to be kidding me. It's that I put Sleepy Hollow, maybe, if we're going to stay with these kind of courses.
Yeah, it's my favorite. In, nice.
The New York area, on right off the Hudson. Joe Micheletti, the great analyst for the New York Rangers, is over there.
Ah.
And Joe's had me there. And maybe it's something about the Seth Rainer, CB McDonald designs. I just love them. And the first time I went to the South Course at Arcadia, have you played that?
No, but on the bucket.
Okay, so everybody goes to the Bluffs, and the Bluffs is unbelievable. Right. And then the first time all my buddies played the South, they just weren't impressed by it. I loved it from the minute I put the ball on the first tee. I'm like, this is Chicago Golf Club.
Right.
You know, it's a little, the greens are probably a little bit too firm and fast for what, you know, what that style of golf probably was back in the day. And say, but anyway, I love that kind of golf. I love thinking about where the bunkering is. I like to. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that's my favorite for sure.
Love that. Unfortunately for these two, I am going to ask.
I was just going to say, you got to pepper him with some questions.
I was, as a long-suffering Rangers fan, I was two in 1994, so I didn't really get to enjoy it. But I was very nervous heading into yesterday, and I thought they handled business to the point where I'm, like, kind of confident now against this Carolina team. Tell me why I'm right, or why I should kind of, you know, pump the brakes here a bit.
Oh, no, I think they're legitimate. And I've kind of been with you a little bit. How solid are they? How deep are they? How tough are they? How gamesmanship worthy are they? And then this year I've done a number of games, and every time I leave the game, I go, this team's for real. This team is really good. And the reason why is the depth. I mean, last year, they felt that they had to make a splash. I wondered personally, why would you go out and get two left-hand shots that play the same position on the right side in Tarasenko and in Kane? Yes, I get it, to add some depth and some scoring, but you're adding two players that are new to your organization that both want the same real estate on the ice. So I think they look back at that, and they, you know, this year they didn't go out and do that. And I think they found that they had Matt Rempe is a real big part of your organization now. And I'm being big, but I mean huge, but I also mean a guy that can fill that fourth line. Barclay Goodrow is probably a better player with that grouping maybe this year than he was last year. You need that kind of depth. And so VC, I mean, I did that game where they had the big scrap with the New Jersey Devils, you know, all anticipated. I was between the benches for it. And I said to VC afterwards, I said, man, you really had a good scrap there. Like, I didn't even know you fought. And he goes, yeah, it's only my sixth fight. I go, well done. Like, you know, like, but I think they have some toughness to them. And I think when they were without Jacob Trouba for a long period of time, and then when he came back, he didn't play particularly well. Other guys had to fill the holes, and I was really impressed by that. So all that, a goaltender, actually two goaltenders, because when Shesterkin was struggling, Johnny Quick came in and played great. So now you got no issues right there, and you got some depth on the blue line. You got some guys that can move the puck, like Fox and Schneider, and you've got some guys that can handle the tough part of it. And then you've got, I think your top two lines are excellent. So I'm not sure why Zibanejad passed the puck last night on that little bit of break in front.
Screaming my head off. I couldn't believe it.
But I love that guy, and I think he's unassuming, but I think he's competitive, more competitive than people think. And I think and I think their coach is excellent. And I you know, I've seen Lavi and I've known him a long time, and he's got a really good system, and I know it's the Lavi lock, but they're not passive. They go at you. And so they can attack you, they play with speed. So all good with the New York Rangers. So what I'm saying is I think they're a legitimate team. If they lose in seven games to Carolina, hey, Carolina's a hell of a team too.
Yep.
You know, if you lost in four, you know, in the second round, then your question is you know, it's like, okay, now what are we going to do for the next year? But I don't think that's going to be the case. I think this is going to be a real long series, a tough series. Carolina's going to be better as well. But I like it. I like it so far. And I like, you know, I like on their bench, by the way, that doesn't get a lot of credit is Mike Pekka.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You know what? I mean, he was always so good on faceoffs. He's really calm on the bench. Like there's no, doesn't get overexcited. These guys have got a good grasp of their bench. And I always look for that, you know, based on the fact that I am between the benches and I should be paying attention to that as much as anything. And I do. I really do. If somebody asks me about a team that's a non-playoff team, and they'll ask me what I think, I'll say, quite frankly, I say, I think the bench isn't in control of the team. And maybe there's too many on the bench. Maybe they're always on the iPads. I don't know. But I know when I see a bench that's got good control of the team and the team listens, then I think you're in good shape.
Good. I'm glad to hear it.
Any other hockey questions? No?
I mean, I could go all day. I'm gone for 30 minutes.
Who lifts the cup? And then I have one for you, too. But who lifts the cup? Yeah.
Before the playoffs, I thought Dallas was – Mm-hmm. I thought they were the team. Then they went down 2-0 to Vegas. I'm like, whoa, that was a little wrong. But to come back from 2-0 to Dallas is extraordinarily good. But now they're going to play Colorado. I mean, the war in the West, it shouldn't go unnoticed, you know, because after that it could be likely. I mean, I would have to think that Edmonton has a slight advantage over Vancouver, even though Vancouver had more points. I think the last 2 months of Edmonton was pretty outstanding. So I think that travel in the West is brutal, you guys. Yep. Like it's the guys in the East, they're very fortunate. I mean, there's no question about that. But so who did I like at the beginning? I mean, I liked about a month to go, I liked Dallas and I liked Carolina. You know, those were my two picks. Nobody's really asked me. I don't really like going out there and telling people who I want to pick because you're sitting there and you're doing games. But a month ago, if someone asked me, that's what I would have picked. So I don't think I'll change it just yet. I still think Carolina is a real deep, good team. Now you got to get through the New York Rangers. Then you got to get through the Florida Panthers, the Boston Bruins.
Yeah.
So I think it's got to change. I think people have got to analyze these series and change every time a series is won or lost because now you might see something different. Like last year, for example, I did game 7 in Boston between Florida and the Bruins. What I saw between the benches were the Florida Panthers playing with house money and having that, I mean, freewheeling, FU attitude all over the ice, all over. They gave it to the Boston Bruins bench. The Bruins bench were getting frustrated. The fans were getting frustrated. You could feel the anxiety and the lack of energy, and Florida fed off it. Now, from that time, who did I pick to go to the final? I picked the Florida Panthers, and it was just based on me being right there and seeing what they were all about and seeing their personalities. And then, you know, they got hurt and banged up, and you could clearly see that Vegas was now a better team. So it just changes so often.
Last one. So I'm interested just because you hear about this in different sports, but the newer, younger generation, have they surpassed the older guys? So I'm going to ask you about goaltending specifically. Would you say that's the case? And if not, who in your estimation is the greatest goalie of all time? Is it someone who played back in your era, or is it one of the newer guys?
Well, I actually think the goaltending's got to improve.
Okay.
I mean, we're at 32 teams now, you know, and I don't believe that after you pick your 10 best goalies that we have enough. I think we've got a lot of good ones coming up, and I'm really impressed by that. There's been a draft, like the draft of, I think it's, I'm just going to guess at it, the 2019, 20, 21 draft. We're going to see some special goalies popping up again. But I do think right now we've got a number of great backup goaltenders, maybe tier two goalies, but not enough top-end goalies. The best goalie in the league to me still is Vasilevsky. And then you can go down to the Shesterkins, and at times you saw Sorokin a little bit. You can go to Jake Ottinger and Thatcher Demko. But I think it's an area that we've got to improve it. I still believe that era of goaltending, and I'm gonna go to the 90. Let's go early 90s, okay?
Yep.
You had,
that's my wheelhouse.
You had the Cujos, the Eddie Belfours, the Marty Brodeurs, the tier two guys would be Mika Kiprusoff and Hobby Boulin were outstanding. Yeah. You still had Grant Fuhr still playing. You had Oh my
Hasek.
Goodness. Dominic Hasek playing. Sean Burke was a terrific goaltender. Like you could literally like just you can reel off these guys and you're like, oh my God, these guys were like you go into any rink and you had top end goalies.
Those guys are still Doug. Yeah, that's great. Yeah. That's interesting.
Like Patrick, we didn't even say Patrick Waugh. And to me, the best goalie of all time has to be based on numbers because and long term like longevity. So how is Marty Brodeur not the best? He played over 1,200 games. He had 691 wins and 125 shutouts. I've often said that between he and I, we had 718 wins together. And 125 shutouts, which I had zero. And like that guy is amazing. Now, somebody asked me, who would you pick for the seventh game in his prime? Right. And I've actually said Dominic Hasek.
Okay. Yeah.
When I retired with the Blackhawks, Dominic Hasek came over from then Czechoslovakia. And everybody told me that this guy was unbelievable. I watched him practice because I was deciding whether or not I was going to continue playing. I had a torn ACL or I'm going to get surgery. And long story short, I ended up retiring after I watched Dominic Hasek and Eddie Belfour take over my net in training camp. But I watched Hasek and I said, I don't get it. Yeah. I don't understand the method of his goaltending because I grew up with the technical aspect of goaltending. You know, your stick's actually on the ice, your glove's in a certain position. You know, he was rolling over and flopping and making these saves. I'm like, are they lucky or does he know what he's doing? And then I was lucky enough to be part of that 1998 Olympic broadcast, the first time NHLers were able to play in Nagano. And I was actually between the benches for that that whole way. Canada was unbelievable. I mean, Patrick Waugh gave up one goal, but the other guy gave up none.
Yeah.
And I just remember thinking, he shut them down, the best Canadians in the world. And then he did it time and time again with Buffalo, even to get them to where they were. So I would still stay with that if I had one game, I'd take Dominic, but Marty Brodeur's, I don't know. There's all different ways of doing it. The longevity, the calmness, the winning attitude that Marty had, the pizzazz and the cockiness and the bravado of, and the presence of Patrick Waugh. Mm-hmm. Like he was like a captain, like you could put the C on his sweater and you can see the way he coaches that he had that same, and I got to play against him in the Montreal Forum, and that was a really wicked experience back then. And then there's Dominic, like you can't understand a word he's saying, but he just stops pucks. So anyway, so the pretty good ones. So
we didn't even say Richter.
What's that?
Richter. We didn't even say Richter either.
Yeah.
Van Beesbrook.
Mike Richter, Van Beesbrook.
Yeah.
Mike Vernon, a Hall of Famer.
Yep.
Also in that era, another guy that was really good. Kirk McLean was really good in Vancouver. I mean, he was the goaltender for Van that really got that series to seven games against the Rangers.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, that game two, I did, it was one or two. I think it might have been game one. I was with ESPN. That was my first full year. And he stopped 51 or 52 at MSG. And I'm like, what a show. That guy was, and he doesn't get any credit whatsoever, so. There's so many, but then you go back to, Bernie Perron and Tony Esposito and Ken Dryden and Glenn Hall and Gump Worsley. I mean, there were six teams back then. They had their stranglehold on six great goalies. Was there 12 back then? There probably wasn't. There were six. And now here we are with 32 and I'm complaining that I don't think we have enough. I think we've got to really work on the goaltending depth and get more stars being goaltenders. And hopefully that does happen. I'm sure it will, because I think we've got a ton of Russians that are coming up. We've had a load of Finns that took over for a little while, Pekka Rinne's and Mika Kiprusoff's and guys like that. And then you've got the Swedes that kind of took over and Hank, obviously Henrik Lundqvist, who's on our show at TNT, does a great job. Yeah. Another one. But now we need, now we need some more. We've got guys from Riga, Latvia. If you look up the population of Riga, Latvia, like how on earth are they developing these goalies? I think there's four top end prospects in the NHL, including Arturs Shelovs, that just stood on his head for the Vancouver Canucks and will probably start game one against Edmonton. And, you start looking it up like, okay, Latvia, there you go. Goalie hotbed of the future. Bet on them.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, Darren, really appreciate your time. Thanks so much. Good luck getting a great tea time in Boston, not just any tea time, but a great tea time, and enjoy the rest of the playoffs. And it was great catching up with you. Thanks so much.
Fellows, it's my pleasure. Enjoy talking both great sports. So take care. Anytime. Let me know.
Thanks, Darren. Take care.
Best.
See you guys. Awesome. Take care.
All right. That was great stuff from Darren Pang. I mean, again, Steve and I, not the biggest puck heads, but we both really enjoyed that. That was awesome. And he's a big time golfer.
Yeah. I'm going to say, like, I don't think the Mayer people are handing out blades to choppers. So
right, exactly. They're handing out blades. Yeah, exactly. So
Chicago Golf Club, by the way, I mean,
he knows ball.
He knows ball.
One of my favorites.
All right. Let's transition something fun. CP, you did your video on it, but you did the story as well. Was it eight people?
There were eight. I can think of 12 more right now, but maybe we'll make it a yearly series.
So eight people that eight golf buddies you should delete from your phone.
That was Sam Wyman's headline, by the way. I don't think you should delete these people from your phone.
That's a little rough, but it's a great headline. It's a great headline, but no, that's a little rough. But
I said banish from your golf rotation, but that's a little, you know, people might not understand what that means.
I like that too. Yeah, this one speaks probably to a wider crowd. Yeah. Now you had gotten into it with we can say right Nagels about a tee time, and then you said it was a certain course, and he said it was too far, and that got you on this whole hissy fit. You were very upset.
Nagel could be any one of those eight people. That's the thing about Nagel.
Interesting. So he's like a chameleon morphing.
Yeah, and I think that's why he was so triggered by it, because he saw a little bit of himself in all of those people.
Right. So he points.
You can't even believe the amount of people who I triggered with this, friends of mine that are like, "Whoa, that one time." I'm like, "Yeah, I was just generalizing everybody, because I make all the tee times. So do you guys. You guys understand this."
Yep.
You know, you cross
paths. I actually a lot don't. Of people. That's why I give you a lot of credit for doing it, because the times that I have tried to do it, and there are a couple people who it's the we need to play golf people, and I've been like, I've gone out of my way to do it. It falls through. I said, you're done.
Yeah.
Don't delete them from my phone, obviously, but I am not initiating any sort of plans with these people again. If they set it up and they say you can come, I'll slide in, but that's it. But to your point, you have eight people on here, which I think we all could like come up with people in our own circles who fit these descriptions. And we probably all at some time, I gave you a little shit. You did do the bailout.
I've been one of these people at some point many times.
We all have.
It's called recognizing a problem, looking at yourself in the mirror and saying, this is wrong, and I'm not going to do this again.
Right.
But I am the tee time guy. I am the group herder. I have other friends who are too, but I've always kind of been that way. So you just get kind of fed up with certain people over the years. The number one person Nagel is, and I think one of the worst people is, can I let you know later this week? It's like,
yeah, that's tough.
You literally cannot. I need to fill out this foursome. Because, I'm just going to hold this spot for you. And then Friday, you're like, you know, if the weather's not good enough for you or something comes up, you're backing out. And now I'm scrambling.
Yeah, and you're
like, people make plans in the summer on the weekends. That's the thing about making golf tee times. You got to make it a week in advance at a lot of these places.
Harder than ever.
Oh, yeah.
So you got to start texting people like, hey, what are you doing this weekend? So the people who are like, can I let you know later? It's like, it's the most selfish move you can possibly think of. As is, I don't have a car, which I have a lot of people who do that to me, which is
insane. I've never heard that one. Where are these people living in the
city? Like in high school, that was a thing. Like, all right, only one of us has a car. Only one of us, you know, one of us had an early birthday. We're older and we can come pick up. 30s, we're in our 30s now. Like, dial up that Uber app for me.
That one jumped out at me because I was like, unless.
Well, Will Irwin was that guy and he's not.
Okay. So it's someone who lives in the city.
City. But that's the thing. We're all in our 30s. You got friends in Hoboken. You got friends in Weehawken in the city, whatever. Like, people don't have a car.
You'll pick someone up from the train station. Yes. You're not even saying like that.
Work with me.
Like, get in the general area and you'll make it work. Now, I will say back to the I'll let you know thing. if you get asked spontaneously, and Steve,
yes, knows,
I'm totally with you. I will say to someone, I will let you know tonight.
Yes.
Okay?
Yeah.
You give me a few hours.
But you're clear about it when you're clear about that. Exactly. Right.
Exactly. But you communicate and you don't then not tell them that night and wait. Oh, yeah, I forgot. Oh, because again, that is rude. Right. And you're booking these times. You're going out of your way. You need to fill the spots. A lot of these places, if you show up with a no-show, you're on the hook for the green fee now. You know,
and then if you go back to that person, you're like, you didn't show, you got to pay. They're like, it's like,
forget about it. Yeah, I have no clue. But I will say, CP, it is going to get tough for you.
Yes, it will.
Oh, I'm screwed now. I was at my parents have a Kentucky Derby party. A lot of people are there. It's like everyone's like, oh, I guess I can't play golf with you because I'm this guy. I'm like, can I just make it a video on the internet? Can I just make a funny video on the internet without like sticking to me for the rest of my life now? But I'm
still, that is the, everyone that was is like, the problem.
Oh, I guess I don't have a car guy. I guess I'm this guy. I'm like, no, I'm just generalizing, making some funny content here.
But there are kind of that guy.
There is some strategy involved when you have a kid and you have to ask your wife, like, there's a moment when your wife is in a good mood.
Right.
That's when you attack.
Right.
That's my strategy. So you know, if CP texts me that morning, like, give me 8 hours as soon as, you know, I put there's in 2 hours of goodwill.
Yeah, exactly. You can't even just text right then because unless it happens to be a good time.
Right.
You just can't. Right. So you need a few hours. You got to figure out, I mean, look, you have a kid, you have two kids, they have to be accounted for. It's brutal. I used to make fun of everybody before I had kids or before I was married. And then once you get married, it's one level of like accountability. And then once you have kids, it's like, and it's insane. But again, kudos to you for being the ringleader guy, because at least you do have like control. And so if you're making that time, you then know, even when you have kids, you will know that like you actually can get there.
Right.
But some of these guys though, I mean, it is amazing. The person who's always running late.
That's Danny Rappaport.
I have someone, he's one of my best friends. I kill him every time. And he goes, I wasn't late. And I'll be like, dude, getting there 2 minutes before the time.
You got to pay. Right. You got to put your shoes on.
A lot of times it's someone else is paying for them.
Yeah.
First of all, it's causing me undue stress. I'm like, the person's like, where's your fourth guy? I'm like, oh, I think he's here. And I'm worried. I want to just have a good time playing golf. Yeah. I don't want to have to worry about you. And he's like, well, you guys were there. Okay, well, that's messed up that we're the ones who always have to be. Yeah, okay, if all three other guys are there and someone can pay for you, but that's, you're being an asshole then.
And the starter hates you for next time.
Yeah, exactly. It's
domino. It's so a domino.
Rude. Yeah. It's so rude.
Well,
it's
like, I think that, you know, some people hear the tea time and think like, that's what I'm
getting. That's the time. That's not time. It's
morons.
15 minutes minimum.
Minimum.
15 minutes.
That's that great internet meme minimum. That goes around every couple months where the guy's like, oh, I'm running late. And the buddy's like, well, actually, I told you to be here 30 minutes before the tea time just to trick you. Yep, so we do that with my sister growing up when we were going to a party. My dad would say, we're leaving at 5:30. The party would be whatever time, because she would still be blow drying her hair when we were all, you know, in the driveway waiting for her. Yeah. So.
I was guilty of that. My friends would text me like 10 minutes before they showed up to my house here. And I would still have 15 minutes that I had to get ready. They'd still be waiting on me. I was that guy. So
yeah.
you get better once you have kids. Now I'm more punctual than ever.
Yeah, you get better. And again, like every once in a while, I will be scrambling.
Yeah.
Every once in a while. It happens. Look, of course, especially when we, you know, do our little Friday afternoon rounds and, you know, oh, something happens and you want to do some work and whatever. And like, all of a sudden, oh shit, I gotta scramble and get there. But like to do it habitually every time, especially when it's to me, there's really no excuse when it's a weekend tea time at like 7 a.m. You're getting up early. You're getting, obviously that's why you're doing it, to get out early before everything gets going. You got to be there. But yeah, of course the number one worst is the person who bails at the very last minute. I mean, that's just inexcusable. It's obviously even worse if it's just a twosome and you're getting bailed on. You know, if you're at a club, even it's tough. It's not as bad. I would say it's worse when it's at a public course, because again, you might be on the hook for these fees. You might get, you know, shit on by, like you said, Steve, the starter, who then will screw you over the next time you're there. Anyway, it's a really good list. It started. I liked how you started with the we need to play golf soon, and then
so many of those people that I've never played golf with,
and they bounce. Yeah, and they. It's like,
well, not that time at that place. It's like, all right, well, then we're not playing. So, see ya.
He said, I guess we don't need to go soon.
I have been scrambler, but like I said, if you're going to be last minute scrambler, just be ready to roll. I think a lot of last minute scramblers then are like, they make it your problem. They're like, wait, like, hold on. Like, I got to put, like, no, if you're going to be last minute,
yeah,
you better be ready to swing the club right away when you roll in. So, and then get to up. Do I get a breakfast ball? It's like, no, if you're late, guy, you don't get anything.
You're done. And one more addition to my give me a few hours take. I will almost always say to if I think it's not going to happen, I will say, don't hold the spot.
Exactly.
Go get someone else. You know, if you don't get someone, I'll ask.
And half the time you don't. And you can come back and say, all right, I'm coming back. Did anything change for you?
Yep.
Nagel, again, I hate to give him too much shine because I'm going to have five voice memos later tonight. But I'll tell him Tuesday and he'll say, can I let you know Friday, guys?
No. Absolutely.
Give him a little credit because he will drive like over an hour.
Not to Howell Park 2 weeks ago, but yes, he has in the past.
In the past, though, he's met us down the shore. He lives in North Jersey. So,
Well, if he lives far away, that's tough. But that's good on him for making the effort. But he'll only make it for like certain courses. And that's one of your guys, too. Like it depends on where you book it. By the way, where you book it, I mean, I could look today on Monday for a Westchester course. There will be nothing. Absolutely zero for a foursome. I mean,
all my friends over the weekend, again, everyone's got a girlfriend, only one has a kid. It's Mother's Day next weekend. You got girlfriends, you know, you maybe do, say Saturday with one side, yada, yada. Yeah. So my friends are like, let's play next Saturday, but it has to be early. And I want to be like, I'm not going to find anything early. It just doesn't, unless I have a county card down the shore. Maybe I can, but nobody wants to go down the shore. So it's like, you gotta work with a lot of different persons.
You really do. Oh my God, I forgot about Mother's Day. Yeah. Mother's Day, by the way, is like, if I try to play on Saturday, it would be like, but it's Mother's Day weekend. I'm like, well, when is it? It's not a weekend. It's a day. Like, what are you talking about? And then meanwhile, Father's Day weekend, we're always working for the U.S. because of the U.S. Open. But if I played golf, I'd get looked at like, wait, you don't want to be with your family? But meanwhile, it's like, but it's my day. I want to go play golf. So you can't. Those weekends are like totally out.
I know.
That's four prime days that are out for me.
Can't. My dad, I want to do nothing. I want to watch golf. Mom be like, you don't want to go out with your family and be with your family? Not your day. I'm not a father yet, but from what I've heard and what I've gathered, there is no more days for you in your life. So prepare for that.
There's not. You get like an hour maybe where you feel like it's your day. Okay. Anyway, great list by CP. Yep. It got us talking. And again, kudos to Nagel for whatever he did.
A lot of inspiration. My friends are very inspiring. That's good on that.
It wasn't all him, but he put you over the top and it was good. Okay. Let's move on to this week. Again, we got a signature event, the Wells Fargo Championship. We also have the inaugural Myrtle Beach Classic opposite field event. And we have the Cognizant Founders Cup, which I'm going to tomorrow, Tuesday.
Nice.
I will be Pro-Am. I'll be at the Pro-Am dinner at night.
Wow.
Tomorrow night?
Yeah.
Are you coming earlier at all?
Probably not.
No. Okay. I'm just hoping it happens to be the day that Nelly's doing a presser. It hasn't been.
Our colleague, Keely Levins, is playing in the Pro-Am, and she got a plus one, so she asked me. So.
Wow. I'll look at you. Okay.
Interesting. So you guys aren't going to the office. I'm actually going to the office tomorrow.
No, are you kidding
rarity
me?
Rarity for you. Well,
I'm also going to the Ranger game tomorrow.
Oh, okay. I don't feel as bad. Yeah, that's too bad. Yeah, I will not be going to the office. I'll be going to Upper Montclair, which will take me half as long to get to as it will to get to the office. So that's
That's why that's so, a lot of people from the city are members there. It's good, like little middle ground, New Jersey.
Never been there. Never been there.
Oh yeah,
a lot of great Sopranos golf scenes.
Oh yeah.
Oh, is it?
Yep. Yeah.
Okay.
Numerous.
Yeah.
Very good. Okay. Wells Fargo, Quail Hollow. Rory, Mr. Quail Hollow is the favorite. Then you got Xander, you got Ludwig, you got Wyndham, Patrick, Homa. You got all the big names except for Scottie Scheffler. As you mentioned, CP, the odds have been slashed on a lot of these guys, unfortunately. I know it's funny, though, because we complain about Scottie Scheffler winning every event. But now we complain when he's out of the field because the odds
fucking us up no matter what he does.
So Scotty's really messed up this whole year of betting.
Brutal. Willie Z was 50 this morning, and now it's 35.
Ooh.
So
hop on it. Come on. That's
Dragon.
We do that video with Keith. You got to hop on it.
All right. So
I literally only bet on my local now, and they never get golf odds till like Tuesday night.
Right.
So I look at these odds on the apps, and I'm like, oh, great number. And then it's gone.
That's smart of that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, because so I almost killed
him. What did you guys talk about with Keith? Who?
I talked about Benny On. So I bet, and this number is still available, 46-1 enhanced win odds at Bet365. You could find 45 at FanDuel. I mean, Benny's played great all year. I think if you just look at the Siggies, the signature event, he's like top five in strokes game total. Just done really well. And I love him for Quail Hollow because the off the tee game is really important at Quail Hollow and the ball striking in general. You got to be precise into these greens, and that's sort of Benny's game. And what I really like is that he gained almost 4 strokes putting last week at the CJ Cup. So, you know, if the putting is positive at all, I think Benny has a good shot. So I think 45-1, good number at Benny T4 last week.
There you go. CP?
I do still like Willie. I know he withdrew, cited the back, but was he really going to win a birdie fest anyway? I don't think so. I think this is kind of much more up his alley. Quail Hollow, tee to green masterclass, hopefully. So, yeah, I think that's a crazy number just based off of him pulling out of an event because of a little flare-up that, you know, now he's got a full week of rest and – of course, that actually suits his game. So I like Willie.
I mean, the ball striking has to apply to Cam Young too, right? Are you guys going back to the well with CY?
Said I was done with him. I got to stick to my guns.
I'm going back. Sure.
Yeah.
As well as Valhalla and every other tournament he plays in.
You were done with him. Now you're not. Not only are you not done, you're betting him every tournament.
Every tournament.
I mean, I'm pretty sure it was here. Was it last year or 2 years ago where he was right in the mix? I'm trying to look it up quick, but this is a great course for him, I think.
Should be.
So, I mean, you have to make a ton of putts, and, you know, that's his game. It wasn't last year. It was, 2022. He finished second. Man, he gained 15 strokes tee to green.
Damn.
Lost 2.5. Putting, so that's what happens.
Sounds about right.
Isn't Windy? This is where Windy started his match run last year. I mean, 18-1 is not bad.
That was at TPC Potomac.
Oh, okay, my bad.
Wells Fargo there.
That's right, and the scores were a little lower there.
Yeah, yeah.
He
played in the President's Cup here, I believe.
True. That is true.
Well, I mean, US won. I think he played pretty solid. Hey, look, it's exactly his game. So, yes, I like Cam Young this week.
Yeah.
Besides putting, making putts ever when he needs them.
Right.
Are you talking about Cam Young now?
We were talking about Cam Young. I don't know who you're talking about.
I was talking about Windy C.
Yes, this is where it started for him last year.
See, like Steve said, it was a different course. Okay, my bad.
No. Last year, I was talking about Cam Young in 2022.
Homa
in the rain, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Keegan was in the mix.
All right. Well, then again, my first reaction is Wyndham Clark should not be 18-1. He's finally
being priced.
He is being respected, properly. But it's still not even quite enough because he should be. I think he should be the favorite. Period. Now, Ludwig, I had a thought a few weeks ago that I would just bet Ludwig till he won again, but I can't. I mean, 11-1 is silly, and now I see he's down to like 16 at the PGA. I should have bet him earlier. I mean, he's gonna win this year. It's like a matter of when. So if you don't like him at this course, maybe you save him for Valhalla, Steve. I mean, right? I mean, this guy.
That's, you know, these are both similar type of tests. Yeah. I think it's driving and iron play. So I think Åberg's great here. 11-1 is tough, but if you believe the wind's coming, this is a great course suit for him. So
okay.
Well, Taylor Gooch is throwing a whole wrench into next week.
Yeah, we got to talk about Gooch. Come on.
Gooch is in the PGA Championship.
100-1.
Wow.
Best iron player of all time, 100-1 to win the PGA.
That's stunning. It's kind of so Gooch obviously made the news. He said he wasn't going to try to qualify for the US Open. He's still obviously ticked about not getting in last year. He did get into the PGA last year, and now he's getting in again. I still don't think the USGA is going to put him in the US Open, but this is big news for him. I mean, look, if we're being objective here, he clearly deserves to be in the PGA Championship. The U.S. Open for me is a little different because about half the guys always have to qualify. So it's just a tougher field to just automatically get in. But the PGA going to, you know, I know they have the 20 club pros, but you still have, what, 125 pros. Like, to say Taylor Gooch is not in that top, I mean, that's just stupid. So good for him. 100-1, that is pretty spicy. That would be quite a story. But again, he was in it last year. He didn't do anything last year.
Has not done a damn thing in the majors in his
look at his major record
career.
Right. Yeah.
Couple made cuts.
I think he might have had a T12 somewhere. Did he at a PGA once?
That could be.
But no top tens. I know that.
No top tens.
And he's only
T14 at the Masters in 2022.
Oh, that's right. That's one strong spot away from.
All right, so T14. That's right. Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, he had a T5 at the Players 2021, if we want to count that.
He could play his way into all of them for the next 5 years if he goes ahead and wins it. And
all right. U.S. Open, though, crazy. A 66th in 2017 and a missed cut in 2022. That's it. PGA had a T20 in 2022.
Southern Hills, I guess, right?
Yeah. Anyway, 100-1 is not terrible. I mean, he did win three live events last year.
Yeah, it was early last year, right? So, like, I was surprised.
Kind of spread out.
Was it?
I think one of them is in July, and two are like early April, March.
Yeah.
That's why it was surprising he didn't get a U.S. Open invite last year. Like, this year, it's kind of silly, but
exactly. Well, last year they screwed him over 100%. Yes. No one's
they screwed him over. They screwed him over, and they still could have given him an invite.
Yeah.
He won a couple times, and they did not.
Yeah.
So he is clearly holding that against them.
Yeah. Kudos to the PGA, because this is like phenomenal for content, and like you have to understand that game to get people talking. So to give him the PGA invite for this year is really smart. So
true. All right, well, anyway, we will have plenty more to talk about in regards to the PGA Championship, of course, next week ahead of the PGA Championship. I can't believe the season's flying. But anyway, huge week this week again. Nelly going for the record on the LPGA. Of course, Wells Fargo, like we mentioned, the new Myrtle thing. You got the seniors playing their first major, the region's tradition. Uh-huh. So just a monster golf week. And then again, you got the Knicks, you got the Rangers, you got all the pucks and the hoops on TNT and all that stuff. We wrap it up by sending it back to our own company. Again, thanks to Darren Pang for joining us today. Thanks to everybody for listening. Please subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Thanks, as always, to our producer, Greg Gottfried. Check back next week to see if CP deleted anyone else from his phone. See ya.